Thank you, Steel Ridge. He is really all that matters. I am glad that I got my priorities right. I know who my Savior is. My hope's not in this world. My hope's not in Donald Trump. It's surely not in the Congress. It's not in the governors of this nation. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad on January the 31st, 1973, I got saved by the grace of God. Christ come into my heart. And I want you to know something. He's been precious to me. He's blessed this old man. He's given me a wonderful church. I know this weekend's been a little different. Just a little pause. Just a little precaution. We'll get back to normal next week. But we've just been a little precautious. But I want to tell you, I thank God for this morning service. And I'm looking forward to preaching tonight. Hey, listen. The outlook may be dark. But the outlook is bright. I want to tell you, we're right at 11:59 on God's timetable. I want you to go back with me to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to try to continue from where we started this morning. I want you to go down with me to verse number 12. And I'll read down through verse number 31. As we continue our series, the rapture and the revelation and everything in between. I want to note to you one more time, Matthew chapter 24 is not a sign of the rapture. Though we're seeing some of those things happening right before our eyes, it's a sign for the second coming of Christ. The rapture happened 7 years before the second coming. What we're preaching about in Matthew 24 is the tribulation period. And you need to understand that. When you try to put the church in Matthew chapter 24, you are in error. Now, let's go back to our preaching in verse number 12, and I'll read down through verse 31. The Bible said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." Listen to this passage of Scripture. This is going to happen during the tribulation period. After the church is gone, there's going to be a revival. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. Now mark it down. In verse 21, we're starting the second half of the tribulation, which is called the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the earth shall be shaken. Then shall he appear, the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. As we started this morning about how the tribulation commenced, we told you it commences, first of all, in verse 5 and 11, with spiritual deception. Then we talked about social deviation. In verse number 6, there will be a time marked by disruptions. We talked about that this morning. This will be a time marked by desperation. There's going to be so much death in the first half of the tribulation period. 25% of the 7.4 billion people on this planet will die in the first 3.5 years. Somebody help me. That's 1.75 billion people dead. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm glad I'm going to be raptured. Verse 7. This will be a time marked by spiritual desperation. Verse 7, this will be a time marked by diseases. We know we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's terrible. But it will not be anything like the diseases of the tribulation period. It will be a time of disasters. It will be a time marked by disobedience, betrayal, and hatred, and wickedness, and the love of sin. Oh, there's a bunch of people that love sin today. They're enamored with sin today. But I want you to know something. It's going to be a time when wickedness will be rampant because the man of sin will be revealed. But I want you to notice as we start tonight at verse 14. I want you to notice a special declaration. I get asked the question all the time. Will there be anybody saved during the tribulation period? And I want to give you the answer tonight. Yes. The Bible said in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now I want to give you some of the preachers of the last days and of the tribulation period. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go over with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 7. I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 6. And then I will show you Revelation chapter 7. Get your Bibles. Go with me. Follow me. I want you to be in tune to what I'm preaching. Look at verse 17 of chapter 6. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? The question is, who'll be saved during the tribulation period? Well, John gives us a description of folks that'll be saved during the tribulation period in Revelation 7. Now, let me say something about Revelation. It's not in chronological order. The verse, chapter 6 is the start of the tribulation period. Chapter 7 is what I call a parenthesis. And then we see the seventh seal open in chapter number 8. And we see the second half of tribulation getting ready to begin. But in chapter 7, John answers the question about who will be saved and who will be the evangelists of the last days. And I want to show them to you. Look at the Bible. Chapter 7, verse number 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Now notice this. Until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Amen. Now I want to introduce you to 144,000 people. You said, who are they? Well, I'll show you who they are. I'm going to tell you who they're not. They're not the church. See, there's a replacement theology going on that says the church replaces Israel. That's wrong. That's of the devil. God has not cast off Israel forever. And the tribulation period will be a time when Israel will be restored. We'll come back to its glory. And in chapter 7, let's look what the Bible says. Not what John Smith says. Not some false teacher on social media. No, what the Bible says about these 144,000. I'm going to tell you the true Jehovah Witnesses. I'm not talking about the false Jehovah Witnesses that don't even believe in a hell. I'm talking about 144,000 people that God seals. And let's just see who they are. I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there was a seal, 144,000. Now notice this. Jared, this ain't real hard to interpret. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, some of you liberal skeptics will say, oh, well, you don't know who the Jews are. Well, I might not know who the Jews are. And I might not know who the 144,000 are. But I want to tell you, my God knows who they are. And my God will pick them out. Somebody help me. Woo! Look at verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it don't take a rocket scientist to know how to interpret that. He said it was 12,000 out of the 12 tribes. You said, but they don't know. But maybe one or two of the tribes. They might not know. The world might not know. You might not know. But my God knows. Whew. And because of their preaching, I want you to notice verse 9. Well, glory, I'm about to shout. After this, I beheld in lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Boy, this is good. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the thrones on their faces and worshiped, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered. Now you say, who's the elders? That's the church. We showed you that in Revelation 4. The 420 elders represent the church. One of the elders answered, saying, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they?" And I said to him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, ladies and gentlemen, now, if you didn't understand that, let me give it to you real plain. During the tribulation, during the great tribulation, because of the 144,000 preaching, there are going to be a great number of tribulation saints that will be saved. Now, I do want to say this to you. And there are going to be some tribulation saints that's going to be martyred. And if you read Revelation chapter number 6, and it talks about the souls that were under the altar waiting for how long before their blood is avenged. Those are tribulation martyrs during the tribulation period. Somebody help me preach. But let me show you something else. Turn to Revelation 11, 1 through 12. I'm going to show you two more preachers. Amen. Thank God. I hope you're getting something. I'm preaching the Bible. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 11, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months or 3.5 years. Now notice this. God has two more great preachers. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses." Now I want to say something here. These two witnesses are not the church. Somebody help me preach. They're not the church. Now there are some false prophets and false teachers believe they are the church. They're not the church. "And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit," that's the Antichrist, "shall make war against them, and shall overtake them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Wow. "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered unto them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Woo! And they heard a voice from heaven saying, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them." Boy, I tell you what's preaching. Now you say, who are they? Well, I think there's two people from the past, personally. The Bible said in Malachi that Elijah would come in the great and terrible day of the Lord. I believe one of them is Elijah. He prayed that it wouldn't rain upon the earth. You say, well, who is the other one? I believe the other one is Moses. And by the way, this is not the first time we've seen him. Somebody help me preach. You say, what do you mean it's not the first time you've seen him? If you go back to the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord was transfigured, and Peter, James, and John was there, these two people showed up. Elijah and Moses. And by the way, they showed up because they're a picture of the law and the prophets. And by the way, they're going to show up again during the tribulation period. They'll preach. They'll have people get saved. I believe 144,000 will be led to the Lord by them. I believe they'll be introduce them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Somebody help me. Boy, I want to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to torment people. And then the beast will come and prevail against them. And they're going to lie in the city of Jerusalem. Their dead bodies for 3.5 days. And the whole world will watch. You know what? God predicted satellite TV before there was satellite TV. I don't know what Wolf Blitzer's going to say when he sees them. I don't know what to... I call them MSLDC will say, or some of those, the CNN say, but I want you to know the whole world will be watching. And you know what they're going to have? They're going to have what I call a black Christmas. They're going to give people Christmas gifts or gifts to celebrate their death. But you say, what's going to happen, preacher? God's spirit of life is going to come in. And they're going to be resurrected right before them people. And God's going to call them up hither, right in the middle of that tribulation. Somebody help me preach. You say, you really believe that's going to happen? I just read it to you. See, here's your problem. You don't believe the Bible literally. You don't interpret scripture line upon line and precept on precept. Whew. Hallelujah. I want to say good preaching, Reverend. I'm just trying to help you tonight. Now I want you to know something. Let's go back to Matthew 24. I'm not going to get done. This will be another. I'll have another sermon after this. We had how the tribulation commences. But in verse 15 through 29, I want to show you how the tribulation continues. Now notice verse 15a. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. This was fulfilled, a fulfillment of Daniel 9:27. This Antichrist will be revealed in his full glory in Revelation 13, 1 through 8. And he's going to come into Jerusalem. He's going to walk into the temple. And he's going to declare himself to be God. And by the way, that's been the agenda of the devil all along. To supersede God. To take God off his throne. And this Antichrist, this beast. Hey, by the way, this beast is going to die. And have a fake resurrection. He gonna die. He was and is and shall come. The whole world's gonna follow after him. And him and the false prophet. You said, who's the false prophet? Might as well say it. He's the leader of the universal church. There's gonna be a one world church at that time. Of all kinds of denominations. Those that don't believe in God. Those that don't believe in the truth of the gospel. But I want to tell you the true church. The church I belong to. The church I was birthed into. Is going to go up. before the tribulation. Whew. Man, a lot of preaching here. Look at verse 16 through 29. There are going to be terrible days. 16 through 20, days of intense persecution. Now notice this. I read a book, Israel's Final Holocaust. By the way, I believe they're the elect in this chapter. I believe there are going to be Jews killed for all the world. We're living in a time right now in an intense hatred for the children of Israel. And I want you to know, church, we better stay beside of Israel. We better stay true to Israel. Somebody help me preach. There'll be treacherous days. There'll be terrifying days. Look at verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not hindered in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. The children of Israel is going to be persecuted by the dragon. He finally, him and his angels are going to make war in Revelation 12:12 against Michael and his angels. And the dragon's going to be cast down. During this time, Zechariah said many Israelites will be killed. Some Israelites will even follow the Antichrist. And a remnant will be saved. Somebody say amen. God has not done away with his people. Now look at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Let me introduce you to the second half of the tribulation. Days of intense pain. Boy, I'm adjourned. I just think it. I might shout right here. I'm not going to be here. Woo! Some of you people believe the church is going through the tribulation. You might be there, but I'm not. I'll tell you what's going to happen. There are going to be some trumpets blow. Let me describe them to you. Why don't you go over to Revelation 8 and lay it right here beside of Matthew 24 and 21. The first trumpet will sound in Revelation 8:7. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One third of green vegetation on the face of the earth will be destroyed. Think about it. Man, oh man. One third. The second trumpet, Revelation 8 and 9. One third of the oceans will become blood. And one third of life in the sea is destroyed. And one third of the world's shipping is also destroyed. This is in the tribulation period. Hey, you better get ready now. You better get saved now. You don't want to be left behind for this. The third trumpet. Revelation 8, 10 through 11. I don't know exactly what this refers to. Perhaps it refers to a meteor that falls into the water supplies and pollutes one third of fresh water. Could you imagine, Jared? One third of everything we drink get poisoned. The fourth trumpet. Revelation 8, 12. Man, I'm telling you, the heavens and the sunlight is diminished by one third. And one third of the light of the other heavenly bodies is destroyed. And before the fifth trumpet sounds, an angel flies through heaven and pronounces woes upon the earth. You think it's been bad up to now? It's just going to intensify. Now I want to start winding this message up right here. I got to have a place to land. I'll do the fourth message next Sunday. I got to ask you something. Do you want to be left behind for that intense pain, that trouble? Could you imagine a world with the seas turned to blood, with a third of vegetation die, water polluted? You know, they're crying about pollution now. I want you to know, you don't know what pollution will be until God sends His wrath down. You said, "What? Where's my hope?" The Bible said in Romans that we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I want you to know something. The Church of the Living God will not spend 1 minute in the tribulation period. I won't see the trumpet judgments. And we'll discuss next week the vow judgments. I won't see them. I'll be gone. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you'll be gone. But if you're not, you're going to be left behind. You're going to face turmoil. You're going to face a society out of control. You're going to face a time of hopelessness. I want to say this to you. Church, if it's that close, how about us getting busy, keeping people out of hell? If that's that close, sinner, what about you now getting saved and trusting Christ? It's a simple way. You just realize you're a sinner. Realize that Christ died and arose and is coming. And trust Him as personal Savior. You can pray a prayer like it. You don't want to go through that. You can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. Christian, this world's on the verge. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We need to get busy getting every person we can saved before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for listening today. I'll continue this series next Sunday. But until then, keep looking up. Because the outlook is bright. Let me pray. Father, I want to pray now that you'd touch everyone. Touch that unsaved person. Touch that saved person. God, they'll get some help. They'll get blessed. They'll get a touch from heaven. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.